Lesson 17. The Universal Law of Cosmic Habit Force. You can do it if you believe you can. We come now to the Law of Cosmic Habit Force, the universal law through which nature affixes all habit so that they may carry on automatically once they have been put into motion. This law applies to the habits of mankind in the same way that it applies to the habits of the universe. Editor's Commentary. As has been mentioned previously, Napoleon Hill's codification of the attributes necessary for personal success was an evolving philosophy. What started as an indefinite number of general theories eventually developed into 15 specific principles, which later grew to 16, and finally to 17 principles comprising the Law of Success. This lesson, the Universal Law of Cosmic Habit Force, defines the 17th principle in the evolution of Napoleon Hill's philosophy. Although this law would become a part of many of Hill's subsequent works, it had not evolved early enough to have been a part of the original editions of the Law of Success. Napoleon Hill's philosophy had its formal beginning when, in 1908, Andrew Carnegie offered him the opportunity to interview the most powerful men of his day in order to learn the secrets of their success. From the interviews, Hill came to realize that all these successful men had certain principles in common. Over the next 20 years, as he analyzed and organized the points he wanted to stress in his lectures, in magazine and newspaper articles, and in a home study course, the principles became refined into specific laws. Those principles became even more refined on that day in 1920 when Napoleon Hill observed that the rivulets of water running down a window pane resembled the rungs of a ladder. In his mind, it became transformed into not just any ladder, but a ladder that could lead to success. In a flash of inspiration, Hill resolved to create a series of lectures based on each of his 15 principles representing another rung in this ladder. By mastering these principles, the student would climb the magic ladder to success. It was these 15 principles that became the 15 main lessons of the first edition of the Law of Success. In later editions, the number of principles and lessons was expanded to 16, as Hill realized that the Law of the Mastermind, which had been the introduction to the first edition, was actually a separate principle. After the successful publication of the Law of Success, Napoleon Hill lectured widely and wrote numerous books on the subject of success, including his classic bestseller, Think and Grow Rich, and, with W. Clement Stone, The Success System That Never Fails. As he continued to lecture and write, Hill further realized that there was another key principle that, in effect, unified the others. He termed this newly recognized principle Cosmic Habit Force, which, when he began working with W. Clement Stone, was also referred to as the Universal Law. In consultation with the Napoleon Hill Foundation, the editors of this revised and updated edition have drawn upon Napoleon Hill's later writings, including The Master Key to Riches and How to Raise Your Own Salary, in order to incorporate the final evolution of Hill's philosophy. The inclusion of this 17th law makes this the most complete edition of the Law of Success. Continuing with Napoleon Hill's original text. Cosmic Habit Force is the greatest of all natural laws. It is nature's comptroller through which all other natural laws are coordinated, organized, and operated through orderliness and system. It is the particular application of energy with which nature maintains the relationship between the atoms of matter, the stars and the planets in their ceaseless motion, the seasons of the year, night and day, sickness and health, life and death. We see the stars and the planets move with such precision that the astronomers can predetermine their exact location and their relationship to one another scores of years hence. We see the seasons of the year come and go with clock-like regularity. We know that an oak tree grows from an acorn, and a pine tree grows from the seed of its ancestor. That an acorn never makes a mistake and produces a pine tree, nor does a pine seed produce an oak tree. We know that nothing is ever produced that does not have its antecedents in something similar which preceded it. Cosmic Habit Force is also the medium through which all habits and all human relationships are maintained in varying degrees of permanence. And it is the medium through which thought is translated into its physical equivalent in response to the desires and purposes of individuals. Mankind is only an instrument through which higher powers than his own are projecting themselves. This entire philosophy is designed to lead you to this important discovery and to enable you to make use of the knowledge it reveals by placing yourself in harmony with the unseen forces of the universe so that they may aid you in the formation of the kind of habits that will carry you from where you are to where you wish to be in life. Cosmic Habit Force is the medium by which every living thing is forced to take on and become a part of the environmental influences in which it lives and moves. Thus, it is clearly evident that success attracts more success, and failure attracts more failure. A truth that has long been known, but few have understood the reason for this strange phenomenon. It is known that the person who has seemed a failure may become a most outstanding success by close association with those who think and act in terms of success. But not everyone knows the reason this is true is that the law of cosmic habit force transmits the success consciousness from the mind of the successful person to the mind of the unsuccessful one when they are closely associated in daily life. Whenever any two minds make contact, a third mind is created, patterned after the stronger of the two. Most successful people recognize this truth and frankly admit that their success began with their close association with someone whose positive mental attitude they either consciously or unconsciously appropriated. Cosmic habit force is silent, unseen, and unperceived through any of the five physical senses. That is why it has not been more widely recognized, for most people do not attempt to understand the intangible forces of nature, nor are they interested in abstract principles. However, these intangibles and abstractions represent the real powers of the universe. They are the basis of everything that is tangible and concrete. Universal Law. Understand the working principle of cosmic habit force, and you will have no difficulty interpreting Emerson's essay, Compensation, for he was rubbing elbows with the law of cosmic habit force when he wrote this famous essay. Sir Isaac Newton, likewise, came near to the complete recognition of this law when he made his discovery of the law of gravitation. Had he gone but a brief distance beyond where he stopped, he might have discovered that the same law that holds the Earth in space and relates it systematically to all other planets in both time and space is the same law that relates human beings to one another in exact conformity with the nature of their own thoughts. The term habit force is self-explanatory. It is a force that works through established habits. Every living thing below the intelligence of man lives, reproduces itself, and fulfills its earthly mission in direct response to the power of cosmic habit force through what we call instinct. Man alone has been given the privilege of choice in connection with his living habits, and these he may fix by the patterns of his thoughts. The one and only privilege, as I have said previously, over which any individual has been given complete right of control. One may think in terms of self-imposed limitations of fear, doubt, envy, greed, and poverty, and cosmic habit force will translate these thoughts into their material equivalent. Or one may think in terms of wealth and plenty, and this same law will translate these thoughts into their physical counterpart. In this manner, one may control their earthly destiny to an astounding degree, simply by exercising the privilege of shaping one's own thoughts. Once these thoughts have been shaped into definite patterns, they are taken over by the law of cosmic habit force and are made into permanent habits, and they remain as such unless and until they have been supplanted by different and stronger thought patterns. Now we come to the consideration of one of the most profound of all truths, that most who attain the higher brackets of success seldom do so until they have gone through some event that reached deeply into their souls and reduced them to that circumstance of life which most call failure. The reason for this strange phenomenon is readily recognized by those who understand the law of cosmic habit force, for it exists in the fact that these disasters and tragedies of life serve to break the established habits that have led the person to failure, and thus break the grip of cosmic habit force, allowing the person to formulate new and better habits. Wars grow out of maladjustments in the relationships between people. These maladjustments are the results of the negative thoughts that have grown until they assume mass proportions. The spirit of any nation is but the sum total of the dominating thought habits of its people. The same is true of individuals, for the spirit of the individual is also determined by their dominating thought habits. Most individuals are at war in one way or another throughout their lives. They are at war with their own conflicting thoughts and emotions. They are at war in their family relationships and in their occupational and social relationships. Recognize this truth, and you will understand the real power and the benefits that are available to those who live by the golden rule. For this great rule will save you from the conflicts of personal warfare. Recognize it, and you will also understand the real purpose and benefits of a definite chief aim. For once that purpose has been fixed in your consciousness by your habits, it will be taken over by cosmic habit force and carried to its logical conclusion by whatever practical means there may be available. Cosmic habit force does not suggest what you should desire or whether your thought habits will be positive or negative, but it acts upon all your thought habits by crystallizing them into varying degrees of permanency and translating them into their physical equivalent through inspired motivation to action. It not only fixes the thought habits of individuals, but it also fixes the thought habits of groups and masses of people, according to the pattern established by the preponderance of their individual dominating thoughts. The same rule applies to the individual who thinks and talks of disease. At first, that person is regarded as a hypochondriac, one who suffers with imaginary illnesses. But when the habit is maintained, the disease thus manifested, or one very closely akin to it, generally makes its appearance. Cosmic habit force attends to this, for it is true that any thought held in the mind through repetition begins immediately to translate itself into its physical equivalent. It is a sad commentary on the intelligence of people to observe how many go through life in poverty and want, although the reason for this is not difficult to understand if one recognizes the working principle of cosmic habit force. Poverty is the direct result of a poverty consciousness, which results from thinking in terms of poverty, fearing poverty, and talking of poverty. But if you desire wealth, give orders to your subconscious mind to produce wealth, thus developing a prosperity consciousness, and see how quickly your economic condition will improve. First comes the consciousness of that which you desire. Then follows the physical or mental manifestation of your desires. The consciousness is your responsibility. It is something you must create by your daily thoughts or by meditation if you prefer. In this manner, one may ally himself with no less a power than that of the Creator of all things. I have come to the conclusion, said a great philosopher, that the acceptance of poverty or the acceptance of ill health is an open confession of the lack of faith. We do a lot of proclaiming of faith, but our actions belie our words. Faith is a state of mind that may become permanent only by actions. Belief alone is not sufficient. The law of cosmic habit force, or the universal law, is a power that is equally available to the weak and the strong, the rich and the poor, the sick and the well. It provides the solution to all human problems. Now let us examine the word habit. Webster's dictionary gives the word many definitions. Among them, habit implies a settled disposition or tendency due to repetition. Custom suggests the fact of repetition rather than the tendency to repeat. Usage, applying only to a considerable body of people, adds the implication of long acceptation or standing. Both custom and usage often suggest authority, as we do many things mechanically from force of habit. Webster's definition runs on into considerable additional detail. but no part of it comes within sight of describing the law that fixes all habits. This omission being due, no doubt, to the fact that the law of cosmic habit force had not been revealed to the editors of this dictionary. But we observe one significant and important word in the Webster's definition, the word repetition. It is important because it describes the means by which any habit is begun. The habit of a definite purpose, for example, becomes a habit only by repetition of the thought of that purpose, by bringing the thought into the mind repeatedly, and by repeatedly submitting the thought to the imagination with a burning desire for its fulfillment, until the imagination creates a practical plan for attaining this desire. By applying the habit of faith in connection with the desire, and by doing it intensely and repeatedly, one may see themselves already in possession of the object of desire even before he or she begins to attain it. The building of voluntary positive habits calls for the application of self-discipline, persistence, willpower, and faith, all of which are available to the person who has assimilated the 16 preceding principles of this philosophy. Voluntary habit building is self-discipline in its highest and noblest form of application, and all voluntary positive habits are the products of willpower directed toward the attainment of definite ends. They originate with the individual, not with cosmic habit force, and they must be grounded in the mind through repetition of thoughts and deeds until they are taken over by cosmic habit force and fixed in place, after which they will operate automatically. The word habit is an important word in connection with this philosophy of individual achievement, for it represents the real cause of everyone's economic, social, professional, occupational, and spiritual condition in life. As has already been stated, we are where we are and what we are because of our fixed habits. And we may be where we wish to be and what we wish to be only by the development and the maintenance of our voluntary habits. Thus, we see that this entire philosophy leads inevitably to an understanding and application of the law of cosmic habit force, the power of fixation of all habits. Each of the 16 preceding lessons is intended to aid you in the development of a particular specialized form of habit that is necessary as a means of enabling you to take full possession of your own mind. This, too, must become a habit. And the purpose of this philosophy is to enable you to develop and maintain habits of thought and of deed that keep your mind concentrated on success. Mastery and assimilation of the philosophy, like anything desirable, has a definite price that must be paid before its benefits may be enjoyed. That price, among other things, is eternal vigilance, determination, persistence, and the will to make life pay off on your own terms, instead of accepting substitutes of poverty and misery and disillusionment. There are two ways of relating to life. One is that of playing horse while life rides. The other is that of becoming the rider while life plays horse. The choice as to whether one becomes the horse or the rider is the privilege of every person, but this much is certain. If you do not choose to become the rider of life, you are sure to be forced to become the horse. Life either rides or is ridden. It never stands still. The ego, the mastermind, and cosmic habit force. Everyone knows that practically everything we do, from the time we begin to walk, is the result of habit. Walking and talking are habits. Our manner of eating and drinking is a habit. Our relationships with others, whether they are positive or negative, are the results of habits. But few people understand why or how we form habits. Habits are inseparably related to the human ego, which is a greatly misunderstood subject. The word ego is of Latin origin, and it means I. But it is a common error to believe the ego to be only a medium for expression of vanity. The ego is the driving force behind all forms of human action, and it is the medium for translating desire into faith. Therefore, we must know something of its nature and possibilities in order that we may guide it to the attainment of definite ends. The power of the ego is fixed entirely by the application of autosuggestion, or self-suggestion, and the starting point of all individual achievements is to inspire one's ego with a success consciousness. The person who succeeds must do so by impressing upon their ego the object of their desires, and removing from it all forms of limitation, fear, and doubt, which lead to the dissipation of the power of the ego. A person's ego is the sum total of their thought habits that have been affixed through the automatic operation of the law of cosmic habit force. It determines the manner in which one relates to all other people. It is one's greatest asset or greatest liability, according to the way they relate themselves to it. The egoist who makes themselves offensive through the expression of their ego is one who has not discovered how to relate themselves to their ego in a constructive manner. Constructive application of the ego is made through the expressions of one's hopes, desires, aims, ambitions, and plans, and not by boastfulness or self-love. The motto of the person who has their ego under control is deeds, not words. One of the major differences between those who make valuable contributions to mankind and those who merely take up space in the world is mainly a difference in egos. The desire to be great, to be recognized, and to have personal power is a healthy desire. But an open expression of one's belief in their own greatness is an indication that he or she has not taken possession of their ego, that they have allowed it to take possession of them. You can be sure that their proclamations of greatness are only to shield some fear or inferiority complex. Understand the real nature of your ego, and you will understand the real significance of the mastermind principle. Moreover, you will recognize that to be of the greatest service to you, the members of your mastermind alliance must be in complete sympathy with your hopes, aims, and purposes. They must not be in competition with you in any manner whatsoever. They must have confidence in you and your integrity, and they must respect you. They must be willing to accentuate your virtues and make allowances for your faults. They must be willing to permit you to be yourself and live your own life in your own way at all times. Lastly, they must receive from you some form of benefit that will make you as beneficial to them as they are to you. Failure to observe this last requirement will bring an end to the power of your mastermind alliance. People relate themselves to one another in whatever capacities they may be associated because of a motive or motives. There can be no permanent human relationship based upon an indefinite or vague motive, or upon no motive at all. Failure to recognize this truth has cost many the difference between poverty and wealth. The law of cosmic habit force is the power that takes over the ego and provides it with the material counterparts of the thoughts that shape it. This law does not give quality or quantity to the ego. It merely takes what it finds and translates it into its physical equivalent. The people of great achievement are, and have always been, those who deliberately feed and shape their own ego, leaving nothing to luck or chance or to the fluctuations of life. Every person may control the shaping of their own ego, but from that point on, he or she has no more to do with what happens than does the farmer have anything to do with what happens to the seed he sows in the soil of the earth. The inexorable law of cosmic habit force causes every living thing to perpetuate itself after its kind, and it translates the picture that a person paints of their ego into its physical equivalent as definitely as it develops an acorn into an oak tree. And no outside aid whatsoever is required, except time. From these statements, it is obvious that I am not only advocating the deliberate development and control of the ego, but I am also definitely warning that no one can hope to succeed in any calling without such control over their ego. A properly developed ego is the product of several factors, which I will outline for you here. First, you must ally yourself with one or more persons who will coordinate their minds with yours in a spirit of perfect harmony for the attainment of a definite purpose, and that alliance must be continuous and active. Moreover, the alliance must consist of people whose spiritual and mental qualities, education, and age are suited for aiding in the attainment of the purpose of the alliance. For example, Andrew Carnegie's Mastermind Alliance was made up of more than 20 men, each of whom brought to the Alliance some quality of mind, experience, education, or knowledge that was directly related to the object of the Alliance and not available through any of the other members of the Alliance. Once you have placed yourself under the influence of the proper associates, you must adopt some definite plan by which to attain the object of the Alliance and proceed to put that plan into action. The plan may be a composite plan created by the joint efforts of all the members of the mastermind group. If one plan proves to be unsound or inadequate, it must be revised or replaced by others until a plan is found that will work. But there must be no change in the purpose of the Alliance. Then, you must remove yourself from the range of influence of every person and every circumstance that has even a slight tendency to cause you to feel inferior or incapable of attaining the object of your purpose. Positive egos do not grow in negative environments. On this point, there can be no excuse for a compromise, and failure to observe it will prove fatal to your chances of success. The line must be so clearly drawn between you and those who exercise any form of negative influence over you that you close the door tightly against every such person, no matter what previous ties of friendship or obligation or relationship may have existed between you. You must close the door tightly against every thought of any past experience or circumstance that tends to make you feel inferior or unhappy. A strong, vital ego cannot be developed by dwelling on thoughts of past unpleasant experiences. Vital egos thrive on the hopes and desires of yet unattained objectives. Thoughts are the building blocks from which the human ego is constructed, and cosmic habit force is the cement that binds these blocks together in permanency through fixed habits. When the job is finished, it represents, right down to the smallest detail, the nature of the thoughts that went into the building. You must surround yourself with every possible physical means of impressing your mind with the nature and the purpose of the ego you are developing. For example, if you are, or aspire to be, an author, you should decorate your work environment with pictures and the works of other authors whom you most admire. You should fill your bookshelves with books related to your own field of work. You should surround yourself with every possible means of conveying to your ego the exact picture of yourself that you expect to express, because that picture is the pattern that the law of cosmic habit force will pick up, the picture that it translates into its physical equivalent. The properly developed ego is, at all times, under the control of the individual. There must be no overinflation of the ego tending toward egomania, by which some people destroy themselves. Egomania reveals itself by a mad desire to control others by force. In the development of the ego, one's motto might well be, not too much, not too little of anything. When people begin to thirst for control over others, or begin to accumulate large sums of money that they cannot or do not use constructively, they are treading on dangerous ground. Power of this nature grows of its own accord and soon gets out of control. Nature has provided us with a safety valve through which she deflates the ego and relieves the pressure of its influence when an individual goes beyond certain limits in the development of the ego. Napoleon Bonaparte began to die because of his crushed ego the day he landed on St. Helena Island. People who quit work and retire from all forms of activity after having led active lives generally atrophy and die soon thereafter. If they live, they are usually miserable and unhappy. A healthy ego is one that is always in use and under complete control. The ego is constantly undergoing changes, for better or for worse, because of the nature of one's thought habits. The two factors that force these changes upon one are time and the law of cosmic habit force. Just as seeds that are planted in the soil require definite periods of time to germinate, develop, and grow, so do the ideas, thought impulses, and desires that are planted in the mind require definite periods of time for the law of cosmic habit force to give them life and action. There is no adequate means of describing or predetermining the exact period of time that is required for the transformation of a desire into its physical equivalent. The nature of the desire, the circumstances related to it, and the intensity of the desire are all determining factors in the time required for transformation from the thought stage to the physical stage. The state of mind known as faith is so favorable for the quick change of desire into its physical equivalent that it has been known to make the change almost instantaneously. Human beings mature physically in about 20 years, but mentally, which means the ego, we require from 35 to 60 years for maturity. This explains why people seldom begin to accumulate material riches in great abundance or to attain outstanding records of achievement in other areas until they are about 50 years of age. It is a necessity that the ego undergo self-discipline, through which one acquires self-confidence, definiteness of purpose, personal initiative, imagination, accuracy of judgment, and other qualities before it has the power to acquire and hold wealth in abundance. These qualities come through the proper use of time. Observe that I did not say they come through the lapse of time. Through the operation of cosmic habit force, every individual's thought habits, whether they are negative or positive, whether of wealth or poverty, are woven into the pattern of their ego, and there they are given permanent form which determines the nature and the extent of that person's spiritual and physical status. I have shown you how cosmic habit force is the determining factor that leads one to success and plenty or to poverty and misery, and how it can bring harmony and understanding or disappointment and failure. To have merely said that it is the force with which nature keeps the stars and planets in their place would not have been enough to be of benefit to the average person who is more concerned with the solution of their daily problems. I will leave you with an overview of the relationship between cosmic habit force and three other important principles through which it becomes the most important factor in guiding people's lives. Two of these principles are associated with the method by which the force operates, and the third is the major principle by which the power of this force can be redirected and converted from positive to negative use by the individual. These four important associated principles are: Number 1. Cosmic Habit Force. The principle through which nature forces everyone to take on and become a part of the environmental influences that control their thinking. Number 2. Drifting. The habit of mental indifference through which an individual allows chance and circumstance to fasten their environmental influences on them. Number 3. Time. The factor with which cosmic habit force weaves together an individual's dominating thoughts and the influences of their environment and transforms them into stumbling blocks or stepping stones, according to their nature. Number 4. Definiteness of purpose. The only medium under the control of an individual with which cosmic habit force may be controlled. The universal law of cosmic habit force is the culmination of this entire philosophy of individual achievement. It is the key to all the principles described in the law of success, but its benefits are available only to those who also master and apply the instructions in the previous lessons. Cosmic habit force guided me through an awe-inspiring maze of experiences before revealing itself to me. All through those years of struggle, there was one definite purpose uppermost in my mind: the burning desire to organize a philosophy with which the average person can become self-determining. Nature had no alternative but that of yielding to me the working principle of cosmic habit force, because I unwittingly complied with the law by persistently seeking the way to its discovery. If I had known of the existence of the law and of its working principle at the beginning of my research, I could have organized this philosophy in a much shorter period of time. Your Standing Army, an after-the-lesson visit with the author. The 17 officers in your standing army are the mastermind, definite chief aim, self-confidence, habit of saving, initiative and leadership, imagination, enthusiasm, self-control, habit of doing more than paid for, pleasing personality, accurate thinking, concentration, cooperation, profiting by failure, tolerance, the Golden Rule, and the Universal Law of Cosmic Habit Force. These soldiers are the forces that enter into all organized effort, from which comes power. Master these 17 forces, and you may have whatever you want in life. Others will be helpless to defeat your plans. This army is standing at attention, ready to do the bidding of any person who will command it. It is your army if you will take charge of it. It will give you power sufficient to mow down all opposition with which you meet. If you are a normal person, you long for material success. Success and power are always found together. You cannot be sure of success unless you have power, and you cannot have power unless you develop it through the 17 essential qualities. Each of these qualities may be likened to the commanding officer of a regiment of soldiers. The most important of the commanding officers in this army is a definite chief aim. Without the aid of a definite purpose, the remainder of the army would be useless to you. Find out, as early as possible, what your major purpose in life shall be. Until you do this, you are nothing but a drifter, subject to control by every stray wind of circumstance that blows in your direction. Millions of people go through life without knowing what it is they want. All have a purpose, but only 2 out of every 100 have a definite purpose. Nothing is impossible to the person who knows what it is they want and makes up their mind to acquire it. Columbus had a definite purpose, and it became a reality. Lincoln had a definite purpose to free the slaves of the South, and he turned that purpose into reality. Roosevelt's definite purpose during his first term of office was to build the Panama Canal. He lived to see that purpose realized. Henry Ford's definite purpose was to build the best popularly priced automobile, a purpose that has made him the powerful man that he is. Burbank's definite purpose was to improve plant life. Editor's Commentary. Horticulturalist Luther Burbank, perhaps not as well known to listeners today as are the others listed, at the time was equally famous as the father of modern plant breeding. In 1871, he developed the Burbank potato, which was brought to Ireland to help combat the blight epidemic. He then sold the rights to the potato for $150 and used the money to travel from Lancaster, Massachusetts to Santa Rosa, California, where he established a nursery and experimental farms. His objective to improve the quality of plants in order to increase the world's food supply inspired such worldwide interest that he was recognized by an act of Congress. Burbank was also a free thinker, which he kept private until motivated by 2 events to go public. The first was the Scopes monkey trial of 1925. A strong believer in Darwinism, he felt he had to speak out. The second was when Henry Ford went public with his views in favor of reincarnation. Ford was a friend of his, but when interviewed by a reporter for the San Francisco Bulletin about his reaction to Ford's theories, Burbank expressed his doubts about God and about an afterlife. Burbank said, "I must believe that rather than the survival of all, we must look for survival only in the spirit of the good we have done in passing through." This is as feasible and credible as Henry Ford's own practice of discarding the old models of his automobile. Once obsolete, an automobile is thrown to the scrap heap. Once here and gone, the human life has likewise served its purpose. If it has been a good life, it has been sufficient. There is no need for another. On January 22, 1926, the front page story appeared in the San Francisco Bulletin under the headline, quote, "I'm an infidel," declares Burbank, "casting doubt on soul immortality theory," end quote. The article was reprinted around the world, creating shockwaves, and Burbank was inundated with hate mail. In a desperate effort to make people understand, he attempted to reply to all the letters. But the physical task of doing so, especially amid all the harassment, was so overwhelming for the 77-year-old that Burbank took ill and died. Resuming Napoleon Hill's original text. 20 years ago, Edwin C. Barnes formed a definite purpose in his mind. That purpose was to become the business partner of Thomas A. Edison. At the time his purpose was chosen, Mr. Barnes had no qualification entitling him to a partnership with the world's greatest inventor. Despite this handicap, he became the partner of the great Edison. 5 years ago, he retired from active business with more money than he needs or can use. Wealth that he accumulated in partnership with Edison. Opportunity, capital, cooperation from others, and all other essentials for success gravitate to the person who knows what they want. Vitalize your mind with a definite purpose, and immediately your mind becomes a magnet which attracts everything that harmonizes with that purpose. James J. Hill, the great railroad builder, had been a poorly paid telegraph operator. Moreover, he had reached the age of 40 and was still ticking away at the telegraph key without any outward appearances of success. Then something of importance happened, of importance to Hill and to the people of the United States. He formed the definite purpose of building a railroad across the great waste desert of the West. Without reputation, without capital, without encouragement from others, James J. Hill got the capital and built the Great Northern Railway Company, the greatest of all the railroad systems of the United States. F.W. Woolworth had been a poorly paid clerk in a general store. In his mind's eye, he saw a chain of novelty stores specializing in 5- and 10-cent sales. That chain of stores became his definite purpose. He made that purpose come true, and with it, more millions than he could use. Cyrus H.K. Curtis selected as his definite purpose the publishing of the world's greatest magazine. Starting with nothing but a name, Saturday Evening Post, and opposed by friends and advisors who said it couldn't be done, he transformed that purpose into reality. Martin W. Littleton is the most highly paid lawyer in the world. He will accept no retainer under $50,000, and it is said that he is kept busy all the time. When he was 12 years old, he had never even been inside a schoolhouse. But when he went with his father to hear a lawyer defend a murderer, the speech so impressed him that he grabbed hold of his father's hand and said, "Someday I am going to be the best lawyer in the United States and make speeches like that man." Fine chance for an ignorant mountain youth to become a great lawyer, someone might say. But remember, nothing is impossible to the person who knows what they want and makes up their mind to get it. Not one of the soldiers in your standing army is powerful enough alone to ensure success. Remove a single one of them, and the entire army would be weakened. The powerful person is the one who has developed, in their own mind, the entire 17 qualities represented by the 17 commanding officers of your standing army. You must watch for every opportunity to apply and empower the law of the mastermind. Before you can have power, you must have a definite chief aim, a definite purpose. You must have self-confidence with which to back up that purpose. You must have initiative and leadership with which to exercise your self-confidence. You must have imagination in creating your definite purpose and in building the plans with which to transform that purpose into reality and put your plans into action. You must mix enthusiasm with your action, or it will be bland and weak. You must exercise self-control. You must form the habit of doing more than paid for. You must cultivate a pleasing personality. You must acquire the habit of saving. You must use accurate thinking, remembering, as you develop this quality, that accurate thought is based upon facts and not upon hearsay evidence or mere information. You must form the habit of concentration by giving your undivided attention to but one task at a time. You must acquire the habit of cooperation and practice it in all your plans. You must profit by failure, your own and that of others. You must cultivate the habit of tolerance. You must make the golden rule the foundation of all you do that affects other people. You must make use of the universal law of cosmic habit force, through which all of these principles can be applied to transform not only your thoughts, but also your habits. Each day, one by one, call your 17 soldiers out of the line and study them. Make sure that the counterpart of each is developed in your own mind. All efficient armies are well-disciplined. The army that you are building in your own mind must also be disciplined. It must obey your command at every step. When you call out of the line the 14th soldier, failure, remember that nothing will go as far toward developing discipline as will failure and temporary defeat. While you are comparing yourself with this soldier, determine whether or not you have been profiting by your own failures and temporary defeats. Failure comes to all at one time or another. Make sure, when it comes your way, that you will learn something of value from its visit. It would not visit you if there was not room for it in your makeup. To make progress in this world, you must rely solely upon the forces within your own mind for your start. After the start has been made, you may turn to others for aid, but the first step must be taken without outside aid. It will then surprise you to observe how many willing people you will encounter who will volunteer to assist you. Success is made up of many facts and factors, chiefly of the 17 qualities represented by these 17 soldiers. To enjoy a well-rounded success, one must appropriate as many of these 17 qualities as may be missing in one's own inherited ability. When you came into this world, you were endowed with certain inborn traits, the result of millions of years of evolutionary changes through thousands of generations of ancestors. You then acquired many other qualities according to the nature of your environment and the teaching you received during early childhood. You are the sum total of what was inborn, what you have picked up from your experiences, what you have thought, and what you have been taught. By the law of chance, one in a million people will have, through inborn heredity and from knowledge acquired after birth, all of the 17 qualities. If you were not fortunate enough to have acquired all the essentials for success in this way, you must strongly plant the desire to develop yourself where you are now deficient. A definite purpose may be transformed into reality only when one believes it can be done, and that belief must be backed with unqualified faith. Perhaps the inexplicable law that turns prayer based on faith into reality also transforms a definite purpose that is founded upon belief into reality. It can do no harm if you make your definite purpose in life the object of your daily prayer. Develop in your own mind all of the 17 qualities, and you will find that the application of faith is not difficult. Master these 17 qualities, and you will have the power to get whatever you want in life, without violating the rights of others.